Okay, we should probably get started. All right, everybody, let's go ahead and get started here. It's already... Oh, I have no idea how long this is going to take, so I don't know if we have a lot of time or not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together and study your word. Lord, we had some prayer requests today. Especially, we pray for our seminarians who are going to be graduating. Lord, ours that we support will not, but we ask that you would continue to watch over them and care for them and help them in their studies as they prepare to go into ministry. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, in case you missed that in the bulletin, the two seminarians that we support are first-year seminarians. Wow. I got an email from one of them because we were kind of back and forth. And I was like, jeez, this guy must be getting ready to graduate with all the stuff he was talking about. And most of it was over my head. And I thought, wow, this is a smarter dude than I am. So I thought for sure he was graduating with just the first year student. So.
It's a chatbot,
Pastor. What's that?
It's a chatbot.
It's a chatbot, yeah.
Where does he live?
You know, I tried to get that out of him, and he wouldn't say. I told him, you know, where Wheaton Island was, and all this kind of area, just familiar with the area, and he wrote back, no, not familiar with the area. Didn't say anything more. So. Oh, boy. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. We've got some people that weren't here last week, so just a quick couple of minutes of review. What are we doing here? We're looking at a comparison between Adam and Jesus. Okay, why? Because in Romans and Colossians, Jesus is referred to as either the second Adam or the last Adam. And so, if you read those two verses, do you remember last week what we considered their comparison was? According to those two verses, the only comparison that those two verses give us is that Adam lived and Jesus lived. Adam died, Jesus died, but Jesus rose again. Oh, there was a third one. Adam sinned, Jesus was sinless. Forgot, that's an important one. Can't let that go. Okay. So Adam dies, Jesus dies. But one of the verses also said that Adam was a type. Remember that? He was a type of one to come. So in the idea of scriptural typological study, if a person or an event or a place is a type, then that means there's going to be another one, but it's going to be greater, right? And why is that? Sound like a broken record here? Because scripture always moves from lesser to greater. Things don't get worse, okay, as far as people and events and those kind of things. Scripture doesn't go backwards, okay? It only gets better. I don't know if that's the right word to say. So if that's the case, then there has to be more than that comparison between Adam and Jesus if Adam is a type. And Jesus is in that line. Okay, he's the one that's coming after. So there has to be more than what those two verses tell us. So then, in order to figure that out, what do we got to do? We got to figure out who Adam is. And what's unique about him? That he will be a type for Jesus. Okay? Does that pretty much hit what we talked about last week? I think. No?
Nobody, we don't know.
Nobody can remember what we talked about last week? It's all just a blur?
No.
Well, join the club. So, well, let's go ahead and let's just jump into Genesis chapter 1. Okay? Now, so here's how we're going to do this. My original concept for this study was that we were going to study everything that we could about Adam, really introduce ourselves to Adam, and then when we got done with Adam, we were going to look at Jesus. Of course, 4 long books about Jesus and even a bunch more other stuff about Jesus, so that would be kind of difficult. So what I've decided to do is, as we work our way through Genesis 1, 2, and 3, what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at everything that refers to either who Adam is or what he's doing, right? Because there's a bunch of stuff in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 that don't pertain to Adam. Okay, and we're going to skip over some of that. But as we're working through, when we find a discovery about Adam, we're going to see how that relates to Jesus. Or does it? Or maybe it doesn't. Okay? I think most of them do. And so we're gonna figure that out. So hopefully you'll learn a little bit more about Adam today than you knew before. So that's kind of how we're going to do it. So we're going to work our way this way. Now, a question came up after class last week about the two creation events, and I probably wasn't very clear about it. Genesis chapter 1, okay, let's tackle this way. Remember long ago when we talk about who's speaking in Scripture? In Genesis chapter 1, who's doing all of the talking? The thing says, our scripture says God, right? G-O-D, it's God. The Hebrew says Elohim. Okay, he's the one that we understand to be the Father. That's how we would translate that. Okay. So in chapter 1, it's Elohim who speaks. Let there be and there was. Okay? Everything comes into being. And there's 6 days and it's all wrapped up. Then we get to chapter 2 and we have the creation story over again. But who's doing the creating in chapter 2? It's the Lord God. It's Yahweh Elohim. Okay? Two names together. Yahweh Elohim. So it's Yahweh that is doing the creating in chapter 2. All right. The difference between the two chapters is what? Chapter 1, Elohim speaks. And in chapter 2, Yahweh does. He gets in there with his hands. Makes all this stuff. Okay? So it's not two different creations. It's the same creation. One told by Elohim, the other told by Yahweh. Okay? It's how creation came about. So that's an important thing that we need to be able to keep that distinction. The best way that I can explain it is you have chapter 1, you have chapter 2. If you lay one over the top of the other one, it's the same thing.
The mirror image.
Right. It's like Yahweh says, let us make man in our image, or Elohim says, let us make man in our image, and Yahweh says, okay, and up he goes. Okay, yeah, so it's the same thing. Okay, it's the same thing. It's not two different deals that's going on here. Okay, covered that. Okay, so with that, let's jump in. Where do we first meet Adam?
In chapter 2.
No. Chapter 1, we're in chapter 1 today. So there's only a couple things in chapter 1. Okay. So, the first mention of man is in chapter 26 and 27.
Verse.
What did I say?
Chapter.
Probably not chapter, no. I would say verse. Yeah, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to be using the ATT, America, and American Translation by Beck today. And I'm only using this for one reason and one reason only. All the Genesis pages are falling out of my Bible. So I was really hoping this was going to last until I retired, but it's getting dicey. So I've had this Bible since Jennifer and I got married, I think is when we got them that year in 95. So it's been through the ringer. So, okay, so I'm going to read it, and then if somebody else has got a blatantly different translation, that's fine, because Beck gets a little flowery. So, verse 26, and then God said, let us make man in our image, or like ourselves, that they might rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, all over the earth, and everything that moves on the earth. And God created man in his image. In God's image, he created it. He created them male and female. Okay? Mm-hmm. There we go. That's the mention of Adam in chapter 1.
Okay. But if you feed in with what everybody's doing in all of this unisex stuff, whether there's, because it says right here, created him, both male and female?
Yeah. No, that's a really good point, because remember last week, when we looked at the word for man, let us make man. It is the way that the Hebrew is pointed in vows. It's like saying, let us make human beings. Let us make mankind. Okay, it's a generic, almost like a generic plural thing. You know, we're making humans here. Okay. And then it says, and God created man, same thing. Okay, God made humans. God made humankind in his image, and then he delineates between that. He created two types, male and female. Okay, so it's not man, and it can be what, but it's a good point. I think, Bev, I think he sort of brought that up after class last week, too. That's just, but from a different angle. Okay, so that's it in chapter one. Now, if you look down in chapter 2, verse 7, mine's all on the same page, so that's another reason why I'm going to send this one to this. In chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Okay, so what's the difference here? Well, there isn't any difference. It's the same thing. It's the same creation. That's what we're getting at when we talk about those two, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Okay.
Why is that? Why is there so much repetition?
So you're saying, why is there two creation accounts?
No, it repeats itself.
Because that's a very Hebrew way of writing.
Okay.
It kind of circles back. It's a way of emphasis.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's the way. How do we emphasize things? We underline it and put an exclamation point at the end of it.
Exactly.
Right? That's what we do. Hebrew repeats itself.
Okay.
Okay. Jesus does it when he talks to people. He says, truly, truly, I say to you.
Yeah.
Truly, I say to you makes people listen. Truly, truly is like, whoa, holy cow, what's coming next? That sort of thing. Okay. And that's and Hebrew does it through repetition. Okay.
The other thing in chapter 2 is that's the how.
Exactly. And that's because that's Yahweh who's doing it.
Out of the dust.
Right.
And so the other thing that I thought of in the first chapter is you mentioned image.
Yeah, we're going to get
there's up. Likeness here.
Yeah, we're going to spend a lot of time on that.
Okay. So I was asking.
Okay, so here we go. So we're going to take these in order that Moses wrote them down. So we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 27 first. Dang, so I have to... Even my own notes, I have to flip all over the place.
What verse?
I'm sorry, 27. Page 7. Okay, so page 7. So, the first thing that we notice about Adam's creation is what? It's different. Now, we're in chapter 1. We're not in chapter 2. So, don't look over in chapter 2.
Okay.
I won't cheat.
Don't cheat.
His own name.
We're in chapter 1, and Adam's creation is different than everything else. Okay? How so? Well, up until this point, when Elohim is creating, what does he do? He just simply says, let there be light.
Yeah.
And then he says, let there be birds in the air, and
the words.
Trees, and let there be, let there be, let there be. It's all over there. When it comes to Adam, it's different, doesn't it? Okay. Humans are going to be the crowning point of all creation. Because, remember, Scripture always moves from lesser to greater. If you notice the order of creation, everything becomes more complex as they are created, with mankind being the most complex. And so, before he begins to create mankind, God engages in sort of a deliberation, a discussion amongst who?
Himself.
The Trinity. All three persons of the Trinity there. Okay? They begin to discuss amongst themselves the creation of Adam. That didn't happen with everything else. So that should be a red flag. Something really different is going to take place here. Okay? And Moses shows us this by how? By using the plural. Let us make our image, our likeness. Okay? So there's this, there's kind of a discussion here, which means what? It means that at the creation of Adam in chapter 1, we're only talking about chapter 1, all three persons of the Trinity are involved in his creation. Okay. All right.
Right?
Right. Are all three persons in the Trinity involved in creating light and birds and fish?
Yes.
I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. It just says that God says.
Yeah, God said.
It said God said. It says Elohim says.
Yes, Elohim says, but Elohim also says in chapter 1, in the Spirit of God.
Yeah, that's not.
He is two.
That's in chapter or verse 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, that's not creation.
Oh.
Creation starts in verse 3.
No, wait a minute. It says in the beginning, which in my mind says that we're starting creation.
Okay. I'm not here to debate this kind of minutia.
Okay.
Okay, we're trying to study Adam.
Okay.
So let's stay focused on that, okay?
Thank you.
So, all three persons are involved in the creation. Can we at least agree on that point?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so all three persons are involved in Adam's creation. How does that correlate to Jesus? Well, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Take a look at that. Luke chapter 1. Starting at verse 30. Now this is out of the NIV. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So who's involved here? As we understand Jesus coming into conception. Who's involved?
Mary.
Okay, we got one of them. We got the Spirit. How do we know it? Because the text tells us, right? Who else is there? God, the Most High.
Yes.
Okay. Who else is there?
Jesus,
right there. Right there. We have all three persons of the Trinity at Jesus' conception. Right? So how do we compare Jesus to Adam then? All three persons of the Trinity are involved in Adam's creation. All three persons of the Trinity are involved in Jesus' conception. How many other people in Scripture have all three persons of the Trinity involved in their conception?
I have none.
None that's listed anyway. You know, God can do what he wants,
yep.
But none that are listed. So, if we're going down our list, here's our first thing that we can say that Jesus fulfills the type of Adam.
Of Adam.
All three persons are involved in Adam's creation. All three persons are involved in Jesus' quote creation, his conception. Only Jesus is fully human and fully God. So he's better. He's greater, right? Okay? So let's move on. Any pushback on that? Let's get anything out in the open that might be confusing.
Yeah, you don't want me to.
Well, you got one. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ken?
If he's greater, then how are co-equal?
No, he's greater than Adam.
But he's greater.
Jesus is greater than Adam.
Oh, greater than Adam.
Yeah, than Adam.
Okay. I missed it.
Yep. Yeah. Greater than Adam.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. So, just a couple of things in the Luke text. It says, found favor with God. The Greek word there is theos, okay? And that would, if you were translating that back into Hebrew, you could use El, but it's capitalized, so it would probably go back to Elohim there. Let's see. Okay, back to page 4. Sorry, my notes are all a mess here. Okay. So, now, in the verse in chapter 1, verse 27, we don't get how this is done, do we?
No.
Okay, it doesn't say. But we do know something of the result. And what is that result? The result
was created.
The result is that he's made in the image of God. What in the world does that mean? Well, let's take a look.
Yeah.
If you look at the Hebrew, and then you look at the Greek in the Septuagint, the word image is defined in both of them. It's very consistent, has the same definitions as likeness, image, form, or appearance. Okay? That's how we define it. So then the question is often asked, does that mean that God looks like you and I?
We don't know. We can't look at him.
Yeah, nobody can walk up and take a look, right?
So he can say whatever he wants.
That's right. Now, well, it can't mean that because God is spirit. What?
Well, doesn't it say in Genesis 1:27, so God created man?
In his own image, yeah. So we're trying to figure out what is the image?
Us.
Okay, we'll get there. I'm trying to lead everybody down a road.
You know, my Nancy says you don't like my answer.
That's what we're trying to be.
Okay. I wish I'd been here for more of the beginning because this is the second one too.
Okay.
I'm seeing.
It's better than that. Okay. So let's walk through this. Okay, so does it mean that he looks like us? Well, no, not really.
He's sinless.
Some say that image is self-consciousness or intellect. Okay?
So he can't look like
us. And that's not correct either because of sin. And it was this really long thing. I don't want to get into it. So if image is not physical and image is not intellectual, what is it? Genesis doesn't tell us, but Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4 do. Let's go there. Colossians 3, verse 10. A lot of biblical gymnastics here today. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4. Let's split that up so we don't have to all look at the same one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. I got Ephesians 4 because I can't find Colossians.
I found Colossians.
I'm terrible with this. I'm trying to remember where stuff is at.
Ephesians 4, verse 10.
Okay, Colossians 3:10. Somebody have it? Still looking? There's lots of pages flipping here. Let's all make sure we're there.
And have filled you up in the fullness in Christ. Is that the three?
No. Chapter 3, verse 10. Somebody got it?
Yeah.
Okay, somebody read it.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Okay, so what do we got?
Knowledge.
Knowledge of his image.
Likeness.
Knowledge of the image. That doesn't really help us yet, does it?
No.
Okay, well, let's go to Ephesians then. Ephesians 4:24.
Do I have a question?
Not yet. Ephesians 4:24.
And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth.
Okay, someone have a different translation?
And that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Okay. That, what was yours? King James? Ken?
Good question.
Okay.
It's the Spanish Bible, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. The NIV reads, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay.
That's what I understand.
What's that?
That one I understand.
That one you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are a little jumbled up. So, true righteousness and holiness. Okay, so then what is the image of God?
Sinless and holy.
Sinless and holy, righteous, all of that stuff. Okay, so if Adam was created in the image of God, how was he created?
Righteous
and holy without sin. How does that compare to Jesus?
Righteous, holy, without
and without sin. Exactly. Only Jesus, because he's better, because he's moving to the greater, he is without sin ever.
Forever.
Never, ever. Adam sins, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He blows up the whole system. Right? So, Jesus is the greater type because he is without sin ever. Okay? So that's number two on our list. Go to page 10. Notes are such a mess. Page 10. Okay, what do we got? Yep, Ken?
Adam was created without sin, and God created him, and Jesus was without sin, but was born through Mary, a person, wherein Adam, there was nobody involved in this. No,
there was no other person.
There was no other person.
God was involved in this.
God was involved.
Yeah.
So the image then, I'm thinking, go ahead.
Yeah, let's see. So if Adam and Eve are created in the image of God, what does that mean for them? Okay, they were sinless, right?
To begin with, yes.
To begin with? Yeah, we all know the story, right?
Yeah. Everything is.
So having been created in the image of God, this divine image affects their intellect, their emotions, and their will. Right?
Okay.
They understood perfectly with their intellect what God had wanted them to know.
Right.
Yes, John?
I don't think they knew they were sinless.
Of course not.
Because they didn't know what sin
was. Know what sin was until they did it. Right. Yeah. Their emotions were in tune with God's. Their greatest happiness was in God.
walked in the garden.
Their will was completely in line with God's will, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Created in the image of God, they were human replicas of what God is like. Not, what's that? Yeah,
must have been fantastic.
It must have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? Must have been unbelievable. Okay. So there we have it. Now there's all kinds of stuff in here about, you know, multiply, do all these things. But we don't hear anything more about Adam in chapter 1, do we? After it says God blessed them.
Oh, not in chapter 1, no.
Not in chapter 1. Okay, so at least we've got some new things here about Adam after out of chapter 1. All three persons were involved in the creation, and Adam was created righteous, holy, and sinless. Okay, after the image of God. So chapter 1 doesn't really tell us a whole lot, does it? It gives us a few things, but, you know, not a whole bunch. So let's move on to chapter 2. Let's see where we can go with that. Richard, you had something first before we move on.
No, go ahead.
No, we're in a good spot here.
I already dropped my page, so I can't go back. My memory fails me now. Thank you.
You got to catch him when he remembers it.
Yeah, that's right.
What did you say, Nadine?
I said you got to catch it when you remember it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on to chapter 2. So the first couple of verses in chapter 2 is kind of a prequel of what's going to happen. And then we get the creation story starting over again in chapter 4. Verse 4. And what seems to be a bit out of order from Genesis chapter 1, I don't know what to say about that. It's the way Moses wrote it down. It's the way the Holy Spirit moved him to write it down. So that's what we're doing. We're going with that. Yes, ma'am.
This is different than what you said, but I was thinking about the Neanderthals.
Oh, no. But, we're not going there.
Wait a minute. No. I have an answer. It says... this is 128. It says, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Neanderthals did not do that. So man did it. Do you? Man, you know history.
It didn't.
There's a difference. There's a difference between... Neanderthals and what God created.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
The pastor said okay. Sorry. Well, he said okay. You don't have to put your...
Okay.
Well, answered my question.
Well, I'm glad you got it worked out. I'm glad you got it worked out. Okay, so let's jump into the creation here. We got a few minutes. So if we go down to chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man out of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So man became a living being.
Yes.
Okay, now for some reason I had through 9, and I don't know why I do that. But God planted a garden, and he put the man he had formed. Okay, and he can eat whatever he wants except for the one tree. Okay, so in chapter 1, God did what? He created. The Hebrew verb there is basically bara. If you read the Hebrew, the first one, it says God created, it was bereshit, so it's bara is the verb there. This verb is translated... This verb only to create only occurs in this unique way. It is only found when God is the acting agent. Meaning that when God is doing something new and unique, this verb is used.
Okay.
That verb is not applied to anybody else.
Okay.
Okay. Only God here. Okay. Unique and unprecedented. Right? Here, in chapter 1, Adam is created differently than all the other creatures before. We already covered that. And no one else gets to have that verb used afterwards. So it's a very unique thing that takes place. So when Moses is writing chapter 2, led by the Spirit, we get a different verb here. It's translated as form, right? He formed the man out of the dust. It's the same verb that is used. It's the same verb of what a potter does by forming pottery on a wheel. So you get that image of this hands-on creation forming thing.
Say it again. Formed out of what? I'm sorry.
What?
You formed out of what?
Dust.
I heard like
form. It's the same verb that's used that describes what a potter does.
Oh, a potter does.
Making bowls and cups and plates.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Forming them with his hands. So what's the image of Yahweh then? Hands in the dirt and up comes out,
right?
He's forming it, moving stuff around, getting everything where he wants it to be. Just like forming a vessel. Is there nothing over here? Okay. So this is Yahweh's very personal, hands-on creation of Adam. Okay. So using this pottery imagery, Yahweh lovingly works his hands, forming Adam exactly how he wants him to be, just like a potter. Right? So then next, Moses says that the Lord God did what? Breathe into his nostrils the breath of life.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Okay. You and I are on the same page, Richard.
Thank you.
Now, yeah, finally. Somebody write this day down. So we can.
Gotta be right.
Every once in a while, you gotta be right.
Twice a day.
Twice a day. Twice a day.
Well, this is your one.
So we could spend all day on that breath, but we're not going to. He breathed into him the breath of life, and what is the breath? It's the Ruach. That is often translated as spirit breath or wind.
Expiration. Versus expiration out versus inspiration in.
Yeah, he breathes it out. Into, out.
He breathes it into. Yeah.
He breathes it out into, out.
John,
he breathes it out into, out.
Okay, I'm sorry, John, but I'm just not following what you're saying. Did I not explain what I'm trying to say?
Right. So God breathed it out.
Breathed it out into Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got it.
Is that not what I said?
Yes.
That is what you said.
Okay.
Just didn't get it.
Okay. Yep.
He got it finally.
He breathes it into Adam. And what happens when he breathes the spirit into Adam?
Well, he becomes alive.
He becomes a living being.
Yeah.
He is animated. Is the term that's used. he's animated to life. Okay? How can I say that this is the Holy Spirit? What do our Lutheran confessions say about the Holy Spirit? He is the what?
Breath of life.
Lord and giver of life. Who proceeds from who?
The Father and the Son.
And the Son. Who's doing this, the breathing?
The Father.
Yahweh Elohim. Okay? So we've got this. This is the Holy Spirit that animates Adam. It makes him to be a living being. It's the Father and the Son who's doing it. If it's the Holy Spirit that's breathed into Adam, so now we've got the Trinity of Adam's creation again in both first and second chapter, right?
Yes.
So again, that comparison falls up into comparison number one, who's involved in the creation. But there's something a little different here. Now, I'm probably going out on a limb, but I'm going to go out there anyway, because...
You find me out there, too.
Okay. Did you bring the saw?
Okay.
Is there a time in the life of Jesus when the Holy Spirit animates Jesus to something?
Spirit in the wilderness?
Right before that, John.
Baptism.
During the baptism.
During the baptism, what happens?
The
Spirit comes down and does what?
Descends.
It descends on him. Mark chapter 10, or Mark 1, 10 and 11, the Spirit comes onto Jesus and immediately does what? Drives him into the wilderness. The Spirit coming to Jesus is what inaugurates his salvation ministry. And Mark says it's immediately. It's not, I'm going to go home and rest up before I go out to the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. This happens and he goes. It's an immediate change. Just like Adam becomes a living being, Jesus' ministry of salvation begins immediately. Ever wonder why we don't really hear much about Jesus before that?
Yes.
Well, of course. I mean, I would like to know more too. Yeah. But what wasn't he doing?
He wasn't doing his salvation ministry. He wasn't doing his ministry. He was growing up.
So whatever he did would not pertain to us at all. Okay. So here we go. We got number four. No, we don't have number four. Did I skip number three?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. Number three was at his creation, Adam was a replica of what God is like. At Jesus' birth, Jesus was a human, not a replica of God, but is God. Jesus, remember what Jesus said. Those who have seen me have seen the Father.
Yeah.
Okay? So that was number three. Well, number four, as we just talked about, Adam is animated by the Holy Spirit for service, right? What did God say? Now that you're alive, go work in the garden.
Right.
Yeah.
Go tend the garden. And with Jesus, he's animated by the Spirit for his ministry of salvation. Now that you've been anointed by the Holy Spirit, time to go. From lesser to greater. Okay. Now, we're going to skip down to verse 18, because after that, okay, you know, they're in the garden, and then we're talking about rivers that are flowing all over the place. That doesn't really help us much with that.
All of a sudden, God wanted to be alone.
And so then in 18, in the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make for him a helper as he needs. Okay.
Did you skip 17, 16, and 17?
I skipped all that stuff.
Well, I thought those were pretty important.
No, because these are, what we're talking about is, they are important to the grand story, but not to Adam. Specifically in Adam and how he is a type for Jesus.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. If you say so.
Did God ever tell Jesus not to eat from a tree in the garden?
No.
He knew better.
Yeah.
I thought we were on verse 18.
We are on verse 18.
Okay.
Yeah, shouldn't Adam know not to eat from the tree of knowledge if he's God?
Adam is not God. I can see this thing is bogging down horribly.
No, I'm good with verse 18.
It's 16 and 17 that's getting everybody. Yes.
Okay, well then, since we're veering off drastically here, let's take a look at this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work. Okay, so putting him in the garden to work is we've already discussed that. He's been animated by the Spirit for service. So that's what he's going to do. He's going to work in the garden. Okay? We compared that to Jesus being animated for his mission of salvation.
Yes.
Okay? So, to work it and take care of it. Now, we are going to talk about work and care for, but not yet. Okay. Then, in 16, the Lord God gave the man an order. Eat from any tree in the garden, but don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. On that day, you will certainly die. Now, those things, the eating and the not eating, how do we compare that with Jesus in any way? I don't think we can, as Adam as a type. Because this isn't about Adam, it's about what was said to Adam.
To Adam, not Adam himself.
Not in what Adam is doing.
Right.
Or pertains to his person. Okay. So that's why we're not covering a lot of, that's why we didn't cover about all of the rivers flowing to Assyria, because it doesn't really help us. Okay, well, it's already past time, so we're going to stop there. I will rewrite this so it's more coherent, and we can stay on track. And we're going to talk about subdue and rule and work and care and all of those kind of things. Okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that we are able to spend our times together. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful island that we live on. As we go about the rest of our day going all directions, Lord, be with us. Keep us safe. You are our good shepherd. Continue to lead us, Lord, as you always do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, everybody.